I titled this One Second to the Next. And it's teaching about believing, about life. Because in life, in every aspect, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever, our lives can drastically change from one second to the next, literally change, sometimes very dramatically. You never know what's going to happen. Physically, you can be great, and then boom, something occurs, heart attack, stroke, accident, whatever, and your life is drastically changed. Or you can have some sickness, disability, or whatever, and you can get healed in an instant, right? We are hit periodically with negative things that go on. Sometimes they're not so big and they're not a crisis, but other times they can be large. And a lot of times we don't have any control over them happening. But what we have control over is our minds, our thoughts, and our believing. So everyone is born with sin nature and without God, without hope. In an instant, that problem is eradicated by the new birth, isn't it? From
Yes.
one second, you're dead in sin, condemned to eternal death. And the next second, you are eternal life. You have eternal life and you're a child of God. In chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And that's explained a little bit in verses 1 through 4, the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation," to, unto deliverance. "To everyone that believeth," to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. In the Working Translation, it's translated, "Surely I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation or deliverance to everyone that believeth, first to the Judean and also to the Gentile." And then in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," or believing to believing, "as it is written, the just," or the righteous, "shall live by believing." In again in the Working Translation, "In fact, the justice of God is revealed in it," the gospel, "from the foundation for believing unto believing, even as it has been written, the just shall live by believing." And the foundation of our believing is God's word, right? That's what we believe. So the word of God is the power of God to everyone that believes. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's not just to apostles or people with gift ministries, not just to prophets, it's not just to Jesus Christ, but it's to everyone that believes. When we believe the word of God literally and rely on it and act upon it, we will see the results promised by God. How simple is that? And it can change anything and everything instantly. It can change our outlook. It can change our physical being. It can change our financial situation. It can change our mental situation, our spiritual situation, whatever. So we're going to look at a couple of records that show this. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. So I'm not just making this up. I said that because you ever watch movies and they write this fantabulous, crazy story,
Right.
and then you see a movie based on truth, and usually the movies based on truth are much better than the movies that are made up. They just are. Anyway, what we're going to look at and what we're talking about is what God says, and we're going to look at records where people's lives were changed in an instant. So everybody knows this record, I'm sure. Chapter 3 of Acts. Verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour," which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon about, I believe, right? Yeah. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So here we have this guy, he's lame, which means he can't walk, right? He has no ability in his legs to support himself or to move, you know, other than crawl, I guess. And he's in this state from the time he was born. He never had the ability to walk. And they would carry him every day to the temple, because that's where people would go many times, to the gate of the temple, in hopes or expectation that a man of God would walk by and they would get healed. Okay? And it says they did this daily. They did it daily. So, and we're going to read later on where it says this man was 40 years old. So for 40 years, this guy has been lame. And every day from who knows when, from when he was old enough, I guess, to understand, or maybe when he was an adult, somebody carried him to the gate, and there he sat. And it says what? He asked alms. And that means he asked for mercy, because it's the same word as translated mercy, which means what? He was looking for deliverance. He was looking for help, not just money and handouts, but he was looking for help. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And the word "receive" is the word lambano. It means he was going to receive it, or expect to receive it into manifestation. He's actually going to get something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately, which is what? An instant.
Yes.
In an instant, his feet and ankle bones. His feet and ankle bones had never had any strength. You know, and it says his feet and his ankle bones. It's, you know, in the very core of his legs and feet, he had no strength. He was lame. If any of you have ever had a physical injury and you go to the doctor and they say, "Well, you got to go through PT, you know, right? And a lot of times it helps. I had a tennis elbow a couple of months ago, and I went to the guy and he said, "Well, if you do these exercises." And I did those exercises, and in 3 or 4 days it was gone. But it didn't happen immediately. I would have liked it to have happened immediately, right? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But this guy's life, his total being, everything about his life centered around what? His lameness. His lameness, that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't walk. And his focus every day was to go to the temple in hopes that he would be healed. And he did this for how long? Years and years, as far as we know, for a long period of time. And he, you know, it's kind of cool, because sometimes when people have a problem, a physical problem or a sickness or a disability or whatever, you know, and they'll pray to God, and they'll pray to God, and they don't get the answer, and they get discouraged. This guy didn't get discouraged, did he? He kept at it, you know. And sometimes that deliverance is dependent upon a couple of things. Number one, God's timing, because God knows when you're going to believe. So, you know, he was at the temple. How many times did Jesus Christ go into the temple?
Yeah.
Bunch. And he never healed this guy. So he wasn't ready to be healed. He just wasn't. And so when Peter and John come by, at that point, God works in Peter and John, and they say to him, "Stand up and walk." Wow. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, when you learn to walk, or you ever see a little baby, they learn to walk. they don't just get up and walk. I mean, you watch a deer or an animal, and they'll get up and they'll be a little shaky, but within a maybe a half hour or an hour, they're pretty mobile. But a human being, it takes weeks and months for them to really get stable and steady and to walk with confidence. This guy's 40 years old, and he just stands up, leaps, and walks and praises God. How incredible is that? In an instant, from 1 second to the next, just like that. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
What a cool thing. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. What a cool thing. And in verse 22, just so you know I wasn't lying, that's not where I want to go. But anywhere, somewhere, it says that he was a man of 40 years old.
Yeah, I was curious about
that. Chapter 4, verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. So he was above 40 years. So maybe he's 41. Who knows? Let's go to Chronicles, Second Chronicles. Chapter 33. Now, this is about a guy who's rotten, evil, okay? But his life gets changed in an instant. So, verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Reigned a long time. He was king for a long time. His father was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a great king and a really good king, and God loved him. And you know the story of Hezekiah. He was sick, and Isaiah said he was going to die, and he said, "Make arrangements, you're going to die." And then Hezekiah turns to the wall and prays to God and pours his heart out. And as Isaiah is leaving the palace, God says, "Go back and tell him he's got another 15 years." Right? So that's this guy's father. You would think, this guy, man, the example of my father, I should be a believer, right? What does it say? But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You don't really need to know much more than that, because when God says somebody is evil, they're evil. But we'll read on. Like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshiped all the host of heaven, and served them. When it says he served the host of heaven, that means he worshiped the sun god and a moon god and Saturn and Jupiter, just like the pagans. All that kind of stuff. I was thinking about today, people say they pray. And I think, well, okay, but who do they pray to? Because the Hindus have thousands of gods. And, just because somebody says they pray to God doesn't mean they're praying to the right God, does it? So, anyway, this guy, he was very religious. He had all these gods and he did all this stuff. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." He even went into the temple where the Holy of Holies was, and he put altars to these false gods there. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through fire in the valley of Hinnom. Wow. You know what that means?
Yeah, he burned it.
Well, yeah, it was something that was absolutely forbidden in the law. You know, you can go back and you can look in Deuteronomy 18, and it says, you know, you shall not cause your children to pass through the fire. You know, it's one of these pagan rituals. He also observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards, and he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So he did just about everything that it says not to do in the law, right? And he set a carved image, the idol which he made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. You know, what's the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. And the second is you shall not have idols, right? Or make idols. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So what's God telling us here? He's saying, this is what I established in contrast to what this guy Manasseh is doing. Pretty crazy. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Israel to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So he made, so he not only did these things himself, but then he put it on the people of Israel to make them do it also. Pretty crazy. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. So God didn't just let it slide. God sent a message to Manasseh telling him he was wrong. You know, so he did it, who knows, gave him a vision, he sent a prophet. It doesn't tell us, but God let him know and the people know, and they decided not to listen. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Wow. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. Now, so they take him, the Assyrians take him, and they bring him to Babylon. They put him in chains. They throw him in a dungeon. He's there. And when he's in this affliction, he besought the Lord. He turns and he prays to God. About time. Right? And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. Means God heard his prayer. Man, if I was God, I would have said, the hell with you. You know? But God's not like that, is he?
Yeah, no.
He's a loving God. And he heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. So, you know, it doesn't tell us, you know, the time frame of this, and I don't know, but I know that he prayed to God, and God heard him and turned his captivity, and he went back. And not only did he forgive him, but he allowed him to go back on the throne, which is grace upon grace. Isn't it? It's just grace upon grace. What a great record. So God turned Manasseh's life right around when he turned to him with humility. You know, we always talk about cast all your cares upon him because he careth for you. But the preceding verses talk about humility. You know, if we're going to cast it to God, you got to do it with humility. You got to know that you can't do it on your own, that you need God, that God is the one that will deliver. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8. How great is that? Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution. If you want to know about Stephen, just read chapter 6 and 7. And there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, they, the church, the believers, were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. So he wreaked havoc. He persecuted the church. So this guy was not a good guy. Let's go to chapter 9. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. So he's not a nice guy, is he? Threatenings and slaughter, murder. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were women or men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You know, previously we saw in Acts chapter 8 that the believers all left. So I guess one of the places they went to was Damascus, and Saul knew it, and so he was going to go there and try to step on the hose, you know, stop the spread of this stuff. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, the rest of that verse is not really in the text or the first half of chapter of verse 6, but when it says arise. So he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And the word hearing there is they heard, but without understanding. They heard something. They heard a noise, but they didn't understand what was being said to Paul. Paul's the only one that understood. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Well, that's, you know, he took a shot right to the face. Put him out of commission. He was blind, and he just couldn't eat or drink. He just didn't, I don't know if he didn't want to or whatever. Verse 10, and there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. That's kind of interesting here, because we're going to see that Lord here refers to Jesus Christ, right? You know, some other place Paul says, I got revelation from Jesus Christ, right? So Jesus Christ can talk to us if he desires. You know, God can talk to us through by way of spirit, and so can Jesus Christ. So the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. So here we have another guy who has done evil in the sight of God, just like Manasseh, you know, he did evil. Here it says Paul did evil, for he hath, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. So Jesus Christ tells Ananias, this is what I want you to do. Ananias says, well, this guy is mean. And he's threatening to kill people and throw them in prison. And you want me to go help him? The Lord says, yeah. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. And putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul. Now, you think, I don't know what it did for Ananias, but certainly his life changed pretty quickly, didn't he? As soon as he said yes to Jesus Christ, his life changed. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received forthwith and arose and was baptized. How fast did it get healed? Immediately. Immediately. At once. It's pretty great, isn't it? Immediately. Verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And it goes on from there, and you know about the life of Paul and what he did for the church. But his life was changed when? In an instant. As soon as Ananias went and did what Jesus Christ told him to do, and Paul believed, and he was healed and delivered, and then became a great man of God. What a great thing. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. You know, life can change both ways, both good and bad. But when we have God on our side, and life goes down the wrong road, we need to turn to him and believe his word. It's pretty simple. Mark chapter 9. And again, this is, you know, one of those familiar records. And verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, speaking about Jesus Christ, he was off somewhere else and they were somewhere, and he came to them. He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, Jesus Christ, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, which is an unclean spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away, which means he's shrinking. You know, he's losing his physical vitality, and he's his muscles are atrophying, and he's getting skinny. Anyway. And I spake to thy disciples that they could cast him out, and they could not. So this guy asked for help from the disciples, but they couldn't help him. And he, Jesus Christ, answered him and saith, O faithless generation, or unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer or tolerate or endure you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, they brought the boy, the son, unto Jesus Christ. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. If you have ever seen somebody have a seizure, it's not a pretty sight. You know, I've seen it, and it's not something you want to think about again. You know, it gets in your brain, and it's just... Anyway, so he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since that this came unto him, unto the child? And he said, of a child or infancy. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, that compassion would be related to mercy, right? Is, you know, can you help us? And, you know, he said, if, you know, he wasn't sure, but he said, if. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, we know a little more because we know that it's, you know, when we believe what God says, when the word says, then we believe. It's not just believing anything, but we believe God. And when God says something, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mm-hmm. Whatever God says he'll do, he'll do. Whatever the word of God says he will do, he will do. And those things are all possible. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What a great statement this guy makes. I believe, help mine unbelief. You know, sometimes our believing is not up to the task. Well, it's a good thing to ask God, help me.
Right.
Show me how to believe. I just want to do what's best, God. Show me, help me, teach me. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit and said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him, why could we not cast him out? And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Fasting, you can go back and look in Isaiah to see what it means, but it means, you know, you're believing God and you take action on things. So this man and his son, their lives were changed. How quick? Right away, as soon as they asked, and Jesus Christ spoke the words, and the guy believed, his son was delivered, you know, dramatically and drastically in an instant of time. It didn't say he had to go to rehab. It didn't say he had to have therapy. It didn't say he had to have, you know, a psychiatrist or anything else. It said he was healed. It was done. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10. You could read the verses in the beginning, but I really only care about, well, I care about them all. It's really important. But in verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken to you, but such is common to man. In other words, we all go through the same crap. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody is unique in that respect. We all started out the same with sin nature. We all had to do the same thing to get born again. We all received the same spirit, and we all get tempted with the same stuff. So there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape or get out, that ye may be able to bear it. And that's a promise from God. There's a way out from any temptation, any difficulty, any situation. God always gives us a way out. It's pretty great. What a great... Let's close in Romans chapter 8. You can never hear these verses too often. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's right there at God's own right hand, at the throne of glory, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? You know, the only thing that really separates us from the love of Christ is our own brains. You know, most of our difficulties are self-inflicted.
Right.
You know, and when we get past that, and we look to God, and we live according to God's word, we get blessed, and we move forward in life. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You know, those are temptations. Those are things, you know, periodically people may have to do. I've never dealt with famine. I guess I've had some tribulation at times and distress at times. I don't think I've ever been persecuted, really. I've never been naked, except by choice. But I've been in peril and danger and had my life threatened at times, you know. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep as the slaughter. No, absolutely not. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors, so no matter what we face, whatever crisis we come up against, it can change in a moment of time. We just have to go to God. We have to pray to God. We have to listen to God. I should have gone to that record on Hezekiah, because what? He prayed to God, and before Isaiah got out of the palace, God says, go back and tell him he's got another 15 years. He got healed like that. As soon as he prayed, he got healed. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No matter how bad you screw up, God still loves you. Look at Manasseh. And he wasn't born again. You know, he was a guy in Israel that not only was a terrible guy, but he made other people do terrible things. And God forgave him and delivered him. So how much more will he deliver us? How much more will he do for us who have, you know, confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead, who speak in tongues, who love him, who pray to him, who want to walk for him? He'll do anything for us, you know, but we turn to him. We don't, you know, there's a psalm that says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Mm-hmm. You know, don't panic. You know, when something happens, take a deep breath and say, okay, God, we got this. Because God's bigger than any crisis, any situation you'll ever face. And he can turn it around in an instant of time. It doesn't take days and weeks. But like that guy that was lame from birth, he didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't give up. He kept at it until he got to the place where he could believe God, and he got healed. And when he did, it happened quick, and it happened perfectly, and he was whole. You know, he got what he needed. So, Father God, we just thank you that you are such a mighty God, and a God that loves us beyond all we can imagine. And that when we turn to you, your deliverance is immediate and perfect in every way. And we just thank you for that. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.